So the last thing we're going to talk about is my time a couple weeks ago with a guy named Chuck Norton, who lives around Cleveland, and I found him through the grapevine. He and his brother are the owner of a 2003 Jetta SVO.
Stands the VegaJet.
The VegaJet, if you will.
Or the VegaJet, depending on how you read it.
And basically, for those who don't know, an SVO vehicle is a diesel vehicle that has been converted to also run on straight vegetable oil. Also can run on waste vegetable oil, or WVO, but that doesn't roll off the tongue as much, so I call it SVO.
Don't confuse the Ford lovers.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a, it makes it sound like it's a performance car, but they're decidedly not performance-oriented. So basically, I spent kind of the day with Chuck in his car, and he explained to me, you know, what it's like to own a car that runs off of vegetable oil. And, you know, the biggest difference is that you can drive your SVO vehicle to the local China buffet and go in and ask the manager if you can go out back and take some of his grease that's been sitting in his grease dumpster. And this is the whole idea, is that straight vegetable oil, peanut oil, canola oil, cotton oil, you know, any kind of vegetable oil. And you can go back there, load up a barrel of the grease, take it home, filter it through these little kind of like a cloth filters to get, you know, the chunks of perch and potato out of them. That's what's in them. He showed me. You got to get the chunks out. So you filter it and you put it
I don't know about needing to de-chunk my fuel, John.
It's a small price to pay for
I'm a lazy American. I like
stability.
To just plug the hole in the, you know, and there you go.
put the nozzle in the pump and
that's
squeeze
right.
the trigger. But it was really interesting because, you know, once you get it home, you store it, you kind of keep it heated, because of course, with vegetable oil, the colder it gets, the more viscous it gets, the more thick, almost to the point of not even being able to flow. So you want to keep it warm when you're, you know, when you're either transferring it into the vehicle, and this is kind of the catcher. An SVO vehicle has a completely separate fuel system for the vegetable oil, which includes a separate fuel tank. Now, when you put the vegetable oil in the car, when you start up the vehicle, it can't run on the vegetable oil right away because that has to warm up and thin out so it can run through the fuel line. So any SVO vehicle is going to have both its diesel fuel system still intact and the separate SVO fuel system. And for the first 5 minutes of any trip, you're going to be running off of the diesel, and that's going to warm the engine up, warm the coolant up, and part of the whole trick is the coolant system is kind of replumbed to go follow the fuel line of the SVO, of the vegetable oil, back to the SVO tank, and the idea is that as soon as the coolant warms up, it warms up the SVO fuel line and warms up the tank of SVO fuel. And that altogether only takes about 5 minutes.
There's a lot going on in 5 minutes. The McDonald's hybrid is what it sounds like.
Yeah, although they warned me, you don't want to go to a chain restaurant because that's the really bad oil. Family-owned restaurants, and they literally said for some reason, China buffets. You know, Asian food, they said Asian restaurants have the best oil. They had no explanation, but these are guys.
It's the extra fish heads are good for a couple of extra octanes. Or so, I don't know.
It's funny because I talked with Chuck Norton, the owner of the car, and he showed me his whole setup at their workplace, how they fill it and all this stuff. And I got to drive it over to Full Circle Fuels in Oberlin, Ohio. And that's the company that did the conversion. And driving it is, I mean, there's no difference driving it versus a diesel.
Yeah, if you're not behind you.
Well, you know, everybody said it smelled. I didn't smell anything in the car. I don't have the nose of a bloodhound, but I hardly smelled anything inside the car. Maybe it did smell behind me. I don't know. It wasn't following me. But in terms of power, you know, it was acted just like a diesel. It was torquey like a diesel, but wasn't snappy, kind of. Everything else reacted the same, except, you know, you do have this extra fuel tank filled with fuel, so the handling feels like you have something large attached to your back when you're trying to turn and stop. So I made it to the Full Circle Fuel place and sat down and talked with a guy and who does this stuff. The two guys who own that particular place, Sam Merritt and Bob Beckett, and two young guys. The place is a converted gas station, ironically, and they're having a ball. They're converting vehicles left and right now. I mean, it's really something that's speeding up. And I was really interested.
How many do they do a year? Do you know?
Well, I asked them how long it takes, and they usually said about a week. They said it only takes like a day or two to do the conversion, but they usually drive it around for a day or two and make sure that the engine's all right, do the conversion and drive it around for some more to make sure that the conversion, like, you know, took and there's not any bugs in the system. So they could probably do one or two a week, I would imagine. When I was there, they had a 1995 Mercedes E-Class that they were converting. They had a brand new Jeep Liberty CRD they were converting, and another Volkswagen New Beetle that they were doing a conversion on. And they're all custom conversions. Like, all of them are a little different.
I was wondering about, and maybe you can answer this, about some of the engine programming. Mm-hmm. Do they have to tinker with that? They must have to do something with it.
No, nothing.
Really?
No. And maybe it's the mechanics of a diesel engine compared to a gasoline. Because I would, you know, if you tinker with a gasoline engine, you would have to consider that. And I wouldn't be the one to ask. We should get Eric on to talk about this. But it really takes just like – you don't have to modify the engine at all. You have to modify the fuel system. It's all about the viscosity of the vegetable oil and it causing problems in the engine.
It's all about the fish heads.
Exactly. Once it's warmed up and thin, it's totally fine. But for about 8 inches – the SVO fuel line and the diesel fuel line are sharing a line. And that 8 inches of line is like the kicker. You have to, when you're done with the trip, like for the day, for the last 5 minutes of your trip, you have to switch it back to diesel. And you have to flush out that shared line of vegetable oil. Because if anything is left in there or left in the injectors or the cylinders, it'll just congeal and it'll cause huge problems. So, I mean, that's basically the change you have to make to your driving habit is to remember to start with diesel and to finish your ride with diesel. But everything else in between could be straight vegetable oil. And the idea is, assuming that this doesn't become a nationwide phenomenon, most of the time you can get your fuel from restaurants like this. And you get it for free. So you're paying for a little bit of diesel you use at the beginning and the end of a trip. And, you know, I was talking to Chuck Norton and asking him what kind of mileage he gets. And he said on straight vegetable oil, it's this pretty much the same as diesel, you know, maybe like 45 miles to gallon with, you know, maybe mostly highway driving. But he said, I don't pay for that. So really for what I'm paying for, I'm getting like 145 miles per gallon on the diesel.
Mm-hmm. And what's the conversion cost of these approximately?
They are about $2,000 to $3,000. I think they start a little
bit. See, there you're paying for it right there.
Yeah, but you look at it in terms of like a hybrid, and everyone says you never make your money back in a hybrid, or it takes 100 to 200,000 miles to make your money back in a hybrid. If you get one of these and you are getting your fuel from, like, let's say a restaurant for free, the money you're saving on fuel could literally pay for the conversion in a year or two. So, I mean, and then it could start paying for the car, for Christ's sake, you know? Assuming, like I said, assuming this doesn't become a huge thing and everybody try, you know,
I don't see lines pulling
up at restaurants, but
yeah, no, I don't see that happening. I don't think there are going to be rows and rows of dumpster divers out there with nice big gloves on.
Well, in terms of people who are trying to think creative, in terms of alternative fuels and what we're going to do in the future, I mean, imagine the whole problem with some of these alternative fuels is infrastructure. There is no infrastructure for distributing hydrogen, and that's a huge problem. And ethanol is in like, you know, 2% of the pumps. I don't know if that's the real number, but you know,
I think that's optimistic.
Yeah, exactly. Think of, if you're creative, think of something where you have restaurants that sign deals with, you know, fuel companies to say, all right, well, you're producing this. Why don't we have a pump on site that can literally pump filtered vegetable oil, waste vegetable oil into cars? So you pull up in the drive-thru, get a, you know, quarter pounder with cheese and a tank of gas, and you're good to go. And then they can start charging.
You know where I could see them really cornering the market is if there's like a Chinese drive-through or a Chinese chain that does delivery.
Uh-huh.
They could be like a little self-sustaining system here. Why not?
Run off the road.
I think it does, you know, open the question to biodiesel and things like that and looking at other alternatives to, or at least intermediate solutions to the hydrogen problem.
Well, what these guys are really excited about is later this year when ultra-low sulfur diesel fuel becomes the mandatory fuel in the country. You know, which is awesome. I'm excited about this too.
Yeah, it should really open the floodgates for diesel here.
Exactly. And you have all these companies that are poised to just unleash diesels on the U.S. And the more diesels there are in the market, these guys are excited because that just means the more diesels there are, the more potential conversions there are. But yeah, I mean, any of these diesels that these new diesels that will come, let's say from Daimler Chrysler, and their what's they're called? Is there's BlueTEC? Yeah, BlueTEC diesels. You know, they can run biodiesel without any modification whatsoever. And you know, so biodiesel might become. And the real question is, when you take the sulfur out of the diesel, the sulfur is the lubricant in the fuel, in diesel fuel, but it's also the most polluting part of it. You take that out, and you still need to put a lubricant in, and a lot of people are saying, since the government really isn't giving any indication as to what sulfur should be replaced with, a lot of people are looking at biodiesel. Now, because biodiesel, the vegetable oil that biodiesel comes from, is just pure lubricant. I mean, that's why if you're running vegetable oil in your diesel, it's extremely good for it. Just a natural lubricant the whole time. So it was a very interesting day. I totally enjoyed it, and I learned a lot. And like I said, I have another post I want to do on it, but on kind of the company that's doing these conversions. They used to be called Griesel. Now they're called Golden Fuel System. So
because Golden Arches Fuel Systems was
You know, a marketer got in there and said Griesel. Who the hell came up with that? Some stupid hippie. So yeah, so they took the hippie name off it and put something more market friendly on it.
Yeah, I just picture like an otter covered in oil when you say that. It's not good.
Griesel, yeah. So we shall see. I'm really excited for October, when this fuel starts coming and diesels gain in market share, like I think they deserve to.
Absolutely.
The whole argument that, you know, diesels have a bad name from the 80s and the horrible GM diesels, that's true. But, you know, the technology is sound and it's proven over in Europe and it deserves.
Oh, yeah. I think around or over 50% of new car sales over there.
Exactly. And you know what? That ratio should be the case over here. It's not for a lot of stupid reasons, image reasons. So I hope to see that change quickly. I think hybrids are great, but I also think that diesels deserve kind of the popularity push.
A much bigger percentage of the market share. Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. While we're all waiting for our hydrogen fuel cell vehicles to arrive.
I've got mine on order, but I expect to be waiting a little while.
Yeah. I think I'm going to wait and maybe get, you know, the second generation of hydrogens. I don't want a Hindenburg on my hands.
Lovely. Let's propagate that Hindenburg myth. I did want to compliment you on your first post with the SVO Jetta, because I think it looked really good, and you took some nice photographs. And
that's my new camera. I got a new camera.
Yeah. Hey, hot stuff, man.
Spent the big bucks. I got an SLR. Tried it out on Chuck's Jetta, and it worked great.
There you go. Nothing like a 2003 Jetta to break in the SLR.
Right, yeah. Don't thank me. The pictures weren't good because I learned something new about cameras. I just got a camera with a better auto setting, that's all. So we'll put that camera to test, though, in New York and see how it survives.
Yeah. Well, anyway, nice job.
Thank you, sir. On that note, we're going to bring this podcast to a close.